Ah, that bell means that we've got the door open. We're ready to answer your questions here. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, a producer and co-host of the Internet Advisor, and this hour is very special because you get to walk into your very own computer shop and ask whatever question happens to be on your mind about your computer, about getting on the Internet, getting around it, and getting over it. Here's the 800 number, 800-859-0957. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. We are a group of people who have been answering people's questions about the Internet since 1998. And oh, how things have changed in that time. I'm delighted, however, because we've continued having tech co-hosts, people who have worked in the field, have had their hands inside computers, and have often been themselves, some cases, we tease Ed, been hackers, white hat hackers in the past, who know a lot about computers, and that term hacking just means somebody who can get inside of a computer and do just about anything they want. We have with us in our studio today, as our staff of people here ready to answer your questions, and let me give you the phone number again, 800-859-0957. We have with us from Quicken Loans, where he works, we have none other than Bill Carver, who's back with us. Bill, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I love it every time I come here.
And with us, no longer a silent partner, Antigone Klima, who is also there at Quicken. Thank you so much.
Yep, happy to be here. And trust me, nobody will believe I was too quiet earlier.
So. And we also have Jeff Harder with us. Jeff is the proprietor of PC Gladiator out in Livonia. You regularly answer questions at your shop, I bet, all day long.
Yeah, and I enjoy doing it.
And we're delighted to have you here again. And somebody, we're very, very special guest who is here with us right now is Dave Sawyer. Dave is with the Heartland Microsoft Technology Center, where he's the technical director there. So, Dave, thank you for being here with us.
Great to be here.
And we're hoping that if you folks particularly have questions about your Microsoft, maybe one of your Office products, or a Windows 8.1, or any of the installations of Windows operating systems that you would like to ask some questions about, Dave can help us with those answers as well. So again, our phone number is 800-859-0957. And from now through the rest of the spring and summer, this will be our primary outreach here live on WJR. So you can kind of think of it this way. You've got a computer shop here that's open with a bunch of people sitting behind the desk just waiting to answer your questions. And the only way we get the ball rolling is when you call with that question. Remember, our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Here's the number again, 800-859-0957, and it's absolutely toll-free. Let's start with Gloria in Ohio. Gloria, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm so happy that you're on. I didn't know if you were on today or tomorrow.
No, we're on today. We're on Saturdays, and we're going to be here live throughout the spring and summer. So it's,
oh, terrific, terrific. Yep, yep. My question for you is, I have a computer. Microsoft no longer supports Internet Explorer, huh? And I've tried a couple of different things, and what it all basically boils down to is that I can no longer make connections onto the Internet with this program that I have, mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating, and sure. I've talked to tons of people, you know, that are computer people,
sure.
And nothing seems to help. So
okay.
I am looking for a moderately priced all-in-one computer desktop. I'm tired of the big tower sitting there.
Oh,
you know?
I know what you mean. Okay, let's there's two parts of this, Gloria. One part
okay.
is, first of all, I want to see if we can clear up something that you've been saying about Microsoft not supporting yeah. Internet Explorer, because Dave's eyes kind of went wide at that point. But
uh-huh.
let's sort things out. First of all, why is it that you think that your computer is not supporting Internet Explorer?
Because that's what I've been told by numerous people.
Okay, what are the symptoms? What's happening?
What is happening?
Or
okay,
not happening.
I just walked over to where, or not happening, I cannot log on to the Internet. I cannot check
okay.
my email.
Gloria,
nothing.
what operating system are you running?
What do you mean by, I have
is it XP?
Acer.
Is it XP? Is it Vista?
Yes, XP.
Okay, you're winning, running.
Now, you can only go up to IE8 with XP. You can't go any higher, but you can still use IE8.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had a green start menu, but you know, now that we know it's XP, really Microsoft XP or Windows XP is something that really isn't going to get upgraded for things. If there's any security holes that come into that, any updates there that are there, Microsoft is not updating XP.
Gloria, when did this start happening? Was there a moment when this happened that you had?
Yeah, about a month ago.
Okay.
I tried to, log into the internet,
okay,
and it kept giving me this error message about connectivity problem. So then I called Time Warner, which is, I have my phone and internet service through them,
yeah,
and talked to their techs, and they went through the whole rigmarole, and
okay,
then
they checked out their end. Let me stop you for just a second here. Dave, when somebody is using, regardless of the system, when the error message that comes up that says you're having connectivity problems, what would be the first thing you think of?
Well, there's a troubleshooter, right, that allows you to see, are you getting an address, right? Is there some issue with your router? I'm sure they've taken her through some of those kind of troubleshooting issues.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of things I would try first.
Right.
Is just make
yeah,
sure
they get... did all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're still not able to connect to the internet. How old is the computer?
Oh, gosh, maybe about 7 years old.
It's okay, 7 years old. Okay. Now, we've got that one part. And, honestly, it would probably take a little more time of diagnosis to find out what the problem was that made you stop being able to get ready to go.
Now, Gloria, would you talk to Time Warner? Are you sure you were talking to them? They didn't send you on to...
Well, they always send you to the Philippines, okay?
Did they ask for any money?
No.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to give you a little more thought. And when we come back, I want to tackle a couple of things.
All right.
Maybe why you were having the problem. And then the other thing would be, you asked about a machine to get into. And that may be something that we can talk about that will help not only you, but a lot of other people as well, okay? Coming back in just a moment, 800-859-0957. Thank you for joining us for our... The doors are open here at the computer shop. And we have a whole bunch of very experienced people who are with us, including Dave Sawyer from Microsoft, who is in here and is helping us to answer some questions about Microsoft operating software and the machinery as well. By the way, reminder for you, it's 800-859-0957, and Jimmy and Ben will be with you shortly. But for the rest of you out there, 800-859-0957. Folks, let's go back and wrap up a couple thoughts that Gloria brought to us. First of all, let's talk a little bit about, Dave, about the whole notion of hanging on to Windows XP. And there are people who are hanging on to it like grim death. And by the way, I'm a senior, and I live on Social Security, so I understand having limited income and holding on to things and trying to make them work.
Right, but that's probably a bad thing, because you're actually going to be paying in support costs.
There
right
you go.
Now, Windows XP is out of support. It was actually introduced in 2001, which is 14 years ago. From
wow.
a computer perspective, that's way, way, way
a couple
long,
millennia right? ago.
Yes. The security landscape, the threats that are out
everything.
There on the internet these days have changed dramatically. You need a more up-to-date operating system that's geared towards those types of security issues.
Yep.
And so that's my first recommendation, is get onto something that is more current and is currently supported.
Right. There'll be some learning involved, folks. There will be learning involved. And I have to say, I'm still hopeful that you'll hang on long enough for Windows 10 to be released this summer, because it will be very, very similar to a lot of the operating systems that are out there. You won't have as much to learn, and it is wonderful to use.
Yeah, I believe Windows 10 is a free update if you have Windows 8, if I'm not mistaken.
But that's correct. So we've announced that Windows 10 will be a free upgrade for people who have Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 for the first year.
Right.
So if you're buying something now, you don't have to worry, because you're automatically going to get that upgrade for it.
Now, the other question she asked was about an all-in-one. And let's just see if quickly we can come up with, because she's asked a question, I want to respond to it. And for our other listeners as well, any thoughts on that, guys?
One of my first thoughts on that, I was trying to find someplace ubiquitous that I know was close. So Walmart was the first thing that came to mind. But it doesn't have to be Walmart. Could be Meijer, anybody like that. But I'm seeing some HP all-in-ones, and there's some good advice that we can get on that. But as little as $285 refurbished, they have a machine. They've got some that average around $400.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been keeping a machine for 7 years, it'll be better than what you have.
My goodness.
Yeah, what you're paying for is the size of the screen in the processor. Those are going to be the two expenses.
Right. The beauty of an all-in-one is getting that big, bright screen.
Absolutely.
So I went ahead and looked down the Microsoft store and saw a couple, Lenovo, HP, 23-inch screens, so beautiful. Much bigger.
Beautiful.
And those were in the $600 to $800 range.
That is not bad at all. Right. $600 to $800.
Yep.
And think of it this way, folks. It's kind of like what the old desktops cost in many ways.
Well,
that
yeah, mean? you have the computer, but you're also getting a new monitor at the same time.
Exactly. Exactly. Take, how about you, speaking up from Apple?
Yeah, actually, I would go with Apple. It is more expensive,
mm-hmm.
but you don't lose as much later. And I don't mean lose like, oh my gosh, you know, you're a loser, but more like just that it's so much easier. My parents, who are also older, more mature, shall we say, when
you're that Barb,
right?
I know her mother.
when I brought home the Apple, they just hopped on it and they were using it. They were using the multiple screens, and it's 3 or 4 years old now, and it runs just as well as any of the new things that are out there.
And that's the iMac. We're talking
right,
about the iMac products. And again,
right.
you can go to an Apple store, look for, get your hands on one of those things. They're beautiful. They're going to be costing a little bit more. But
Foster, I got to touch on something. You know, Gloria had mentioned that she made a phone call to Time Warner. Now, owning a shop, believe to this day, people still get random calls.
Oh,
I call
yeah.
it phishing.
Yeah.
But they get the calls to the house that they say they're Microsoft. And hold on, Dave. They say they're Microsoft and your computer's sending out pings.
Yeah.
Now, if anything, from me being on the show today, I want to educate everybody. Microsoft doesn't call. And all that is a fish, phishing. They're calling the house. They're trying to get you hooked.
And trying to get your information.
And then they're going to send you to the administrator. They're going to show you services that are disabled and not working. It's all lies. A brand new computer has errors, and I want to educate everybody. You know, do not call.
Don't
Google a phone number and expect you're calling Microsoft or HP.
Exactly.
But if they call you, hang up.
It's
a random call.
Babe, you're going to say something too?
Just the fact that that is one of the newest forms of fraud.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's nobody from Microsoft that's calling people telling them that there's something wrong with their computer.
Not even Dave.
Not even me. So, and if you get those calls, yes, hang up, because
please.
What they're going to do is they're going to try and get your credit card.
Exactly. Okay, hey, let's go to John from Ontario. John, Canada, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I'm having a problem with my Microsoft 8.1 Internet Explorer 11.
Okay.
It keeps crashing on me on most of the websites, even when I'm just starting to compose on the compose a sentence or filling out a form. Next thing, a sign comes on the screen and says, "Internet Explorer Internet Explorer must close. Please close this program." Then I click close, and then it starts again, and then for about 2 minutes, and then it shuts down again.
That's interesting.
Only the Internet Explorer 11. All with the previous Internet, I had never had a problem.
Okay, just with Internet Explorer 11. Okay, any thoughts, guys? Do they have any thoughts?
Well, my first thought is you're using this the desktop version or the one from the
time? Desktop. Yeah.
The desktop version, okay.
And by the way, what is the computer you're working with?
I got a Dell computer.
A Dell computer, okay. And it must be one of the newer ones, right?
It is, yeah, it is a year old.
A year old, okay.
And it's happening right from the get-go.
Ah, okay. I'm not quite sure. What is your connection to the internet, by the way, out there in Ontario?
I have a cable connection, a cable modem.
Okay, you have a cable modem coming in.
Yeah, I have 20 megabytes per second.
Okay, how many browsers do you have on your computer?
I have two. I have to use the Firefox because of the Internet Explorer is so unreliable.
Okay, I just wanted to say, the Firefox is working proper then, right?
Oh, yeah, the Firefox is working good.
Okay, good. And by the way, folks, that's why we always ask you about having another browser for troubleshooting purposes. In terms of the Internet Explorer 11, and it says it has to close, I'm guessing that there is something going on in the background in a setting, perhaps.
There's a couple of things to check there. One is on the tool side of things. You can go into the manage add-ons and see if there's some stuff that you don't recognize.
Yeah,
there.
I've been there. There's nothing there to delete, nothing.
There is another spot I can think that you can nuke the settings, essentially go back to the beginning.
Somebody from Microsoft, and we didn't have much time to talk, but he suggested it could be a problem with the video card. Some video has to be... maybe change.
Is everything on the computer?
I wouldn't go into that.
No.
What processor? Do you have a discrete video card, or are you just using an Intel processor with an integrated video?
I'm using an Intel processor 5.
Okay.
The i5.
So you have an i5, and you're using integrated video?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have a separate video card. Okay.
So unlikely that there's going to be an issue there.
Right. Exactly. Right.
On the Dell website, there is a program. There's a website, support.dell.com. You can have it scan your PC, make sure you have the latest drivers
installed. Yeah, I've done
installed.
That, but I don't think that does anything. I've done that. I've done it 2 or 3 times.
Okay. So you've done a lot. By the way,
this happened right when the computer was brand new.
Okay. I think you've done a good job of troubleshooting on this.
So the fallback to all of that is to back up your files, right?
Right.
And they actually, in Windows 8, there's a restore to how the computer came out of the box. So that uses the recovery and gets you back to how it started.
Yeah, I've done that 2-3 times already. I had to, because sometimes, one time I had a problem with my hard drive, so they come and replace that. So then and it doesn't matter. It happens again, even with a new hard drive.
You think possibly bad RAM, maybe?
I don't know. I'm not sure how much memory I got in excess RAM.
Well, we're talking about bad RAM. In other words, you could have 16 megabytes of RAM.
Oh, yeah.
But if there is something that's gone haywire in one of the modules, it can sometimes cause this problem. John?
Okay, well, explain to me, why does the Firefox work?
That is a very good question. It sounds like something has gone haywire. Now, I'm going to ask the question here and see if I can answer it. We'll come back with some thoughts after the break, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John, so much for calling us. This is a real stinker. We'll see if we can put our heads together here and come back with some other thoughts. Thank you. Glad to have you with us here on this kind of our own computer shop here. We've got a whole bunch of techs here who are waiting to help you. And by the way, we have Dave Sawyer from Microsoft, which is we have a little advantage then of having somebody who is very familiar with Microsoft products. And our number is 800-859-0957. What you know, Dave, we get a real stinker there. With the last question from John from Ontario asking about IE 11, Internet Explorer 11, just simply not working. And we've had some thoughts as we've discussed here in the studio, just quickly before we get to Ben and any of the rest of you out there who would like to call in at 800-859-0957.
Right. I mean, I think that the key thing here is he said he's had it from the very beginning. So, you know, some of our thoughts, well, since you had it from the very beginning, it would have been interesting to maybe take it and exchange that computer early on.
The whole thing.
Obviously, that hasn't happened. Yeah. But, you know, we've gone through and we've isolated some of the things like add-ins, going back and setting Internet Explorer settings. He said he's re-imaged the computer multiple times with the default media. So, you know, at this point, I think that, you know, could have a hardware issue.
Now, a quick question. Where do you go in Internet Explorer 11 to do what I remember doing on Internet Explorer and other versions like in 7, et cetera? You can go into the settings page where they have all the tabs, and you go to the furthest one to the right, and you click on that, and you go down to the bottom, and it says Restore Defaults. Have you got that same?
That's correct. So what you do is you go to Internet Options, go to the Advanced tabs, which is the one all the way to the right.
Right.
And on the very bottom of that is Reset Internet Explorer Settings, and it resets Internet Explorer's default settings for you.
Now, that won't, I don't think it'll work for John. He's done everything but stand on his head. But for everybody else out there who's having problems, that's one way of clearing it. Tig, you said something during the break that was interesting. You were talking about taking care of these problems quickly when you get a new computer.
Right. When you have a new computer, and if it's starting to have issues right away, then make sure that you do your exchange before your initial warranty runs out. Otherwise, you could be stuck with them for a really long time.
Jeff, what would be the advantage of taking something like this into a computer shop?
You know, we can diagnose it. PC Gladiator diagnoses everything for free. I mean, we never charge a fee to look at it.
I bet you find it with a lot of small places, too, as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. And then you would be able to see if there is another component problem, et cetera. So, John, there's some thoughts from our side. You may want to take it at this point. If you can't take it back and simply say, give me another whole machine, you might be able to go to a local computer shop there in Ontario and get some service where somebody else can get their hands on it. But it sounds like you've done a lot of stuff out there, so good for you. Ben from Adrian, our old friend, how are you doing here? Welcome to Internet Advisor.
I'm doing good, Foster. How about you?
Very well. You're getting ready to do some spring planting?
I've been working on machinery a little bit and so forth, getting ready.
All right. Now, you have a question about email for us, I understand.
Yeah. Windows Explorer, the one that, not the one online, but the one that I've got on my computer, I get an email from, say, Joe Blow, and I want to send it to Sam.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that?
You mean just forwarding an email?
No, I want to comment and so forth and go along with the other thing that I got from Sam.
Dave's nodding.
Forwarding is the right thing. Forwarding will allow you to go ahead and add your comments at this before you actually send it off. So if you want to forward it to somebody, you click the forward button, and then you add your comments. And
yeah,
it'll have,
I know that, okay. But what I want to do is integrate it with the comments that the other guy sent me.
Right, which when you do a forward, it will include those comments as well.
It's called
I want to send it to somebody else.
Right, which forward would allow you to do. When you hit forward, it'll ask you the address of the person that you want to forward the email to, and then it gives you an opportunity to fill out in the body of the email your comments while keeping the rest of the email below
it. Yeah, but the comments that Sam sent me don't get included.
Okay, what you want to do then, it sounds like, is take Sam's comments, right?
Yeah.
Copy them, okay?
Okay.
So then go to the email from this other person, and then you want to forward that, right?
Yeah, I want to forward it to Sam, but I want Sam's comments in there too.
All right, let's back up again. Where do Sam's comments first appear?
I got an email from Sam.
Okay.
And he wanted to see the email that I sent to somebody else.
Okay.
And I wanted his comments in there too.
Sounds like you got to copy the comments and then go back to that other email.
Yeah, this is what
I
was saying.
Forward it on.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with that also. It sounds like the email was something that Sam's not on before, and he wants to add that maybe to the conversation. So really a copy and paste will definitely do that. If you copy from the old email, paste into the new one. Mm-hmm. If you're forwarding the new one, just add Sam's comments there.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Ben?
I guess it does. I was hoping there was a slicker way to do it.
Sometimes scotch tape and paper clips work.
or just have Sam with you when you read the email.
No, seriously, sometimes it's just the simplest things. Now, there is something called a thread. When you get a conversation going and you have a number of comments from people, let's say I send in an email, correct me on this, guys, if I send a comment, let's say I send an email out to three people, and I get responses back from those people, that will create a thread, if I'm not wrong, with each person's comments added to that.
Yeah, but the thing is, these two people are totally different threads.
Okay. Then the cut and paste sounds like the best way of handling it.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I don't think there's anything that's slicker than that.
If you make a Facebook page, you can all be in the same spot.
I don't get on Facebook, period.
I understand.
It's okay. This is MySpace. You're good. You can use that.
Well, so I know that you belong, Ben, to some organizations. Like you're a steam. What do they call it? Steampunk or what do they call that?
Steam engines and stuff. Yeah, I have.
Right, steam engines. So I imagine there's some groups you belong to there, right?
Oh, yeah. I get on several outfits there. But none of it is Facebook. It's mm-hmm. all individual blogs or whatever.
Sure. I'm wondering if you can create, let's pretend for a minute that these two people share your interest in something. Guys, how would we create like a group that information could be shared in, rather so that it's not just one person that's getting the comments, but it's going to be a group of people? How would you do that kind of thing? Any suggestions? I know there's going to be some workarounds to it.
I don't have any idea.
Well, I can tell you what I do. I, for instance, will go into my contacts on, this happens to be on a Mac machine, but you could do almost anywhere, wherever your contacts are, and create a group.
Okay.
Like I would create the steam engine group, and I would have Ben in there, and I would have Sam and Fred and Mary and Marie and whoever else you want in there. And then when you go to send an email, you would send the email to the steam engine group. And what would happen is all their names would populate in there.
Okay.
Now, then, for instance, maybe you decide that one of the other persons, it doesn't pertain to them, or you don't want them to see it, or whatever it may be. You can actually pull that name out then.
Okay.
And make sure you're sending it only to four of the five, or all five. And that way, everybody will be involved in the thread. They can see what everybody else has said. And as a matter of fact, I have that going right now with a group of people at my church that are dealing with a project that I'm on.
Okay.
And so you start with your contacts and create a group within the contacts. And Outlook, Dave, you can create a group in Outlook, am I right? In the
I don't have Outlook. I got this mail
Windows Live Mail
from Microsoft.
You mean online?
It's on my computer, not online.
Oh, it's on your computer.
Yeah, but it's an update from Outlook Express, I guess it was, years ago.
From years ago, okay. Well, it could be any kind of a mail client. I'm trying to think of what it would be on Outlook, and I haven't got that right now myself.
Well, actually, there's also Google Groups and Yahoo Groups.
That's right. That's right.
And then you can also set up a blog, like on blogger.com or anything else like that, and then everybody can access it centrally.
But you're making a very good point. I know my wife has an organization called La Leche League that she deals with, and they've created a Yahoo group. So your mail client, for instance, Outlook, I believe you can create groups there on there as well. Through the People Hub, am I right? Well, it used to be called the People Hub.
I have not done that, but yes, I know you can, in our Windows phones, you can create groups of people
That's what I'm thinking of,
send to them as a whole. So that's nice.
Exactly.
I do that with some of the people at work and family, but I haven't really done a lot of that to kind of interact via email. So
okay. Yeah, I think if you would go online to Outlook.com, what used to be Live Mail or Hotmail in my case, and Ben, you and I are old enough to have Hotmail accounts.
I got two of them.
That you can create groups there. And I think in Houston, also in what used to be called the People Hub, which is the contact form with Microsoft as well. But it's a great way of being able to, like your family members, get all your family members into one thing. So then you don't have to send out five different emails if you're going to contact everybody for a family reunion or whatever. You can simply create that one group with all of their email addresses in there, and boom, you're all set.
Now, I got a comment about that lady that was on that thought Outlook Express wasn't working.
Oh, yes.
I've had a whole bunch of different computers, and I don't think any of them that the browser connected to the internet. It was something else that connected.
Oh, I see. Something else connected to the internet.
Yeah. And I can't remember back when I had dial-up just what things was working. But
I got
now
you.
That I've got DSL and got a router.
It's something else. Ben, I got to hang on. Hang on. We're going to take a break, and we'll come right back. I'm Foster Brown, co-host and producer for the show, and thank you so much for listening in right now. By the way, room for more calls, 800-859-0957. And if you don't call, we're going to talk amongst ourselves, as they say. But then again, 800-859-0957. I just want to thank the folks who have been in the studio with us for the program, and that includes a bunch of people like Bill Carver. Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome.
And Antigone, Tig, thank you very much. Tig Klima, for being with us as well.
You're very welcome.
Jeff Harder, thank you for coming in from your shop out there in Livonia, by the way. Just quickly, where's PC Gladiator in Livonia?
We're located at 9003 Wayne Road. We're between Ann Arbor Trail and Joy Road. It's about a mile north of Westland Mall.
How many days a week are you open?
Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 9 to 3, close Sunday.
Okay. And by the way, folks, if you want to find out more about that, go to our website and just simply, as I said before, go down to the bottom of our page, the internetadvisor.net page, and you'll see there your trusted computer shops. When you click on that, you're going to find that one of the shops that was mentioned in there is PC Gladiator, and that is where our friend here, Jeff Harder, works all the time. And the reason we have his name in there along with the other ones is that people like yourselves who listen to our program recommend those places as good places to go. People listen to you there. For instance, Jeff, you were saying diagnostics are free. You're not charged up front for them looking at your computer. And it's always a great place to go in. And just jumping off from that, Dave, I know one of the other things, too, people may not realize is there's a resource for Microsoft products in the Detroit area, and that is out in Troy. At the Somerset Center.
That's right. We have actually two stores. One is a kiosk in 12 Oaks, and the other one is our larger store in Somerset. We do training out there, and of course, you can always go there and get an eye for the new PCs, get some hands-on with those as well.
Yeah, and that's why I want people to remember that, because I think sometimes that we lose track of the fact that you can actually take things in, your Microsoft product in there and get some help from people who know what it's all about.
That's correct. One of the things that's nice is we talked about the Microsoft Signature Build, which is a build of Windows all of the additional stuff that gets added in by some of the OEMs.
Yep.
And, it's a store they'll work with you to get a signature build on your machine if you would like to do that for troubleshooting.
That is extremely important, by the way. And folks, what we're saying essentially is you don't have all of the what's the polite way of putting it?
Junk.
There you go.
There you go.
No, in all fairness, in order to keep the prices down, they make deals with people and they include things on it, or they may have their own help systems. Heaven help us if you buy PCs, you can name the brand. They have all these things that are added in there to keep watch over you, and they can often slow things down. And the nice thing about the Signature Build is it's simply all the good Microsoft products that are around there without a lot of other bells and whistles.
All the other stuff added in. You want to know when you're starting, you're not adding in a bunch of stuff that you may not ever use.
That's exactly it. And that was part of what we were asking John from Ontario about.
You know, one of the other things that we were talking about on break is just the fact that we have troubleshooters inside of here. So it's very easy to get to. If you're in Windows 7 or 8 or 8.1, you can just go to the start menu and type troubleshooters, just start typing, you know, troubleshooting, and it'll come up for you. And inside of that, you'll actually have network troubleshooting, device troubleshooting. It has troubleshooting for running a program made for a previous version of Windows. So if you have that older app that you're trying to get going and you're having some problems getting it to go, there's some things in there that will help you out to get that happening.
So that means I can install an old version of Bonsai Buddy and bring it to you.
Maybe not quite that old, but at least it's a way to troubleshoot some issues with older products.
And I love, by the way, as a matter of fact, somebody called me the other day during the week, an old friend of mine, Paul, called up and he said, I'm suddenly can't log on to my computer. It sees my wife, who is another user, but I'm in the admin and it's saying I can't log on because I don't have the password for it. And he said, I don't know what the password was. I didn't put a password in there. And it turns out that was a fairly common problem. Well, fortunately, we logged on through Safe Mode and got it. But when I was on board, on the online, I found out Microsoft, if you go to Microsoft, what is it, support.microsoft.com, I think that is, and you put in the issue, there was a knowledge base article, and here is the best part about it. There's this great fix-it button at the bottom of it. In other words, you can follow, if you love to do this manually, you want to get in and play with all the bits, you can do that, or simply go down to the Mr. Fix-It there and click it, and it does it.
Right. You know, the other issue is that sometimes you have a problem, and it only does it when you're by yourself, and you go to show it to somebody else, and they're going, it works fine for me. So we actually have a tool that we added in called Problem Steps Recorder, PSR, which is actually a very fun tool. It looks like a little VCR, and it records everything you do with screenshots. So if you are having an issue, you can go ahead and turn on Problem Steps Recorder, start recording, and then go through and do what you normally do, interact with calculator, interact with email, show how it works. And if that problem comes up, then they'll actually be able to see exactly what happened.
Now, where do you find that again? Go back through that. Yep. Where is that?
So you can go right to the run menu there, or you can just start typing it, and it's PSR, Problem Steps Recorder.
It's a great way to write directions for people as well, because it shows what you clicked in text on the left-hand side, gives you a screen. If you get two screens, it gives you a double-wide screenshot.
And it saves it all as a nice HTML file that you can send off to somebody to show them where you had a problem.
That is excellent. So it's PSR, and if you put that in...
Problem Steps Recorder.
Or Problem Steps Recorder.
Yep. And the idea is sometimes you'll talk to people on the phone. This probably happens to you all the time, like every Saturday, where you're trying to visualize what they're talking about.
Excellent.
And sometimes you have some issues with that. Maybe they're not describing it the right way. This allows you to see exactly what they're doing.
Dave, that is excellent, because very often, well, we go through this on the program. People who have listened to us for years will notice that sometimes helping people to articulate the problem is half the battle. What they know is, I can't get on the internet. But there's a whole lot of stuff behind the scenes that could be part of, you know, getting you there.
Drawing out, like, what's the process you take? How do you start getting on the internet? Is there a program that you launch? Are you on dial-up? Or are you actually connected to the cable modem?
So, for instance, with John, if he would get in there and he would start, would you open up Problem Steps Recorder and then start going to wherever you were?
Yeah, so you open up Problem Steps Recorder, and then there's a Start Record button, right? This could actually work well on the same side. We were just talking about groups, right? The idea, here's how I use groups. You could actually do a recording and then send it to somebody and say, do this, 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 and this. And then, voila, it'll work for you, right?
Wow.
So helps you to explain things to people when you can't be right there showing them.
You better watch out. It might put us out of business here. You know that?
Oh, I think we'll survive.
I think we'll survive.
Yeah, what happens when Problem Steps Recorder crashes? You know, you need to call us for that.
No, I love that because You're right. I imagine it would be interesting, Jeff, if people came in with something like that, they could say, okay, here's the problem I've been having, and here's the record of the problem steps recorder, and then you could take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you had some things, just quickly before we wrap up.
I had one last thing I wanted to touch on. You know, daily I get somebody that comes into the shop and says, you know, here's the question. How much should I pay to fix it, or what is my cap? When am I not going to pay any more than this amount? And I think the rule is, you know, you don't put any money into XP. You know, Vista maybe. I mean, if it's a high processor, you might put money in that. Maybe you'll upgrade it to 7. But it's important that if you like the computer and it's running Windows 7 or 8, you know, to fix that computer. If it's running fast and the hard drive goes, and you like that computer and you thought it was a good computer, then fix it. If it wasn't running that good and it's going to be more than 40-50% of what you paid, don't fix it.
Mm.
You know, that's what I wanted to touch on. If it's got an i3, i5, i7, quad core, and you put money into it when you bought it, then you should fix it.
Wise advice. Jeff Harder, thank you very much. PC Gladiator is his shop. It's found in Livonia, and you can find links to that on our homepage. Dave Sawyer, thank you so much for being with us.
It's been great being here.
I think that PSR problem steps recorder is the gem we'll take away from this. By the way, folks, I will put that up on our homepage as well, so we have that as a follow-up. Thank you so much for being with us, and taking the clean up with us. And Mac Group continues to meet on a monthly basis, right, Tig?
Yes. Actually,
yes, they do.
Yes, okay. Yes, they do.
They do. Matter of fact, that's the last time I think I saw you was at one of those. Bill Carver, thank you again for being here with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Of course, Mac Group is still the Birmingham Temple because the Mac is a religion.
My name is Foster Brown. Thank you again so much. Thanks to the guys behind the glass, Rich Lozinski and Eric Dorsch. Thanks so much, guys. Hey, we will see you next time, 5 to 6, same time. Get your questions ready for us.